interesting that the one person in the studio that does not have headphones on is digging the music most of all. Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian.
Woo! And I am Hannah Bach, the co-host.
That's right. That's everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ.
And everybody's favorite goth comedian.
Well, I don't know. There's a couple others out there. Anyway, I think I am everybody's favorite. What a show we have tonight. I've never felt so out of shape in my life.
Oh, you look great. Come on.
Well, thanks for lying. But I've got three guests here, three of my dearest friends. I've known you for about a year. And do you know who this is?
Do tell.
We're going to get into a lot of stuff, but have you ever seen the movie 48 Hours with Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
Have you ever seen show Three's Company?
No, I've seen, you know.
Right.
That's the Poison Ivy episode.
Yes.
Not generic Three's Company, the Poison Ivy episode.
Right. Have you ever gone to a boot camp?
No.
You've heard of boot camps.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever worn a pair of boots?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Greta Blackburn. She was in so many 80s movies. Yeah. V, The Final Battle.
That was a miniseries.
All sorts of things.
It was still awesome.
All sorts of things. And the person that invented boot camps and the person that had the good sense to put me in one of her music videos, which she shot with her friend Ophelia Rain.
Oh.
We'll talk about all of that. And so since I was going to have you, and you're such a the editor of Miss Fitness Magazine, all sorts of things, you're in such great shape, I said, why don't I bring my other muscular friends here?
Mm-hmm.
Am I blowing you out? I'm sorry.
No, I'm adjusting. That wasn't mine.
Oh, okay.
It was a
tip. Yeah, you just adjusted mine. That's good. Now because I think I am blowing people out. No, that's good. It's good. This guy has been in a number of movies, including 300, the sequel.
Yes. I can't take credit for being in the best of the 300s.
Rise of the Empire. And if you've been out to the fetish clubs, goth clubs, no doubt you've seen him in a kilt and been scared and ran the other way. That's Jared Delgado. And the last time you were on the show, we had you on with a contorting clown.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Ruru.
Ruru the clown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually run into her still every once in a while out at clubs. She's actually been recovering from a car accident for at least a couple years now. But
it's tough.
She's, you know, up and around and working and just doing her thing again. So.
Yeah. And next to you, I've known you. You the first time you were on the show, you bit me.
Mm. That was a long time ago.
That was 5 years ago. And
it was somebody else's house.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to get closer to the mic. But
that was someone else's house.
No, I remember that.
I was told to eat a sandwich.
No, you were on the vampire show because we had a guy that said he was a real vampire.
Yeah.
And then you cosplay as vampire all the time. You do a lot of cosplaying around the clubs and everything. Yeah. And now you guys have known each other for so long. It seemed natural that you would get together, but you weren't together when I met you.
No.
You weren't together when I left in 2015.
No. Yeah, we were best friends, and we were roommates for a year. And you're introducing her, and I'm the one.
Yes.
I really love the story.
It's that kind of relationship. We'll get into the story. This is Jenna Sharp. We're going to get into the story in a second. So
I moved away, and then I came back to be with this guy.
Yes.
Oh.
And the three.
Hi.
Oh.
I know, it's disgusting.
Okay. Hannah? Okay.
What?
Before we get started, we have some sponsors. We have Audible.
Yay.
I love audiobooks. You're on the road all the time. You're going all the way from L.A. to New York. You got to go to audibletrial.com/DMS for the Dark Mark Show.
I'll do it.
Free book.
I'll do it.
Free 30-day trial. You can cancel the second day. You keep the book. Do you have any books on Audible?
I don't know. I have a couple books. I don't know if they're at Audible. I should know that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna research that because I should research it before the show. But next time you come, we'll have that research.
Good.
I have several. I love Audible.
Yes, but I mean, have you written a book that's on Audible now?
Have I written one?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say it'll come out shortly.
Oh, really? I had no idea. Anyway, but whatever you like, horror books. You like a lot of smut. A lot of S&M stuff, a lot of bestsellers. If you like comedy, David Spade just came out with an autobiography. Mm-hmm. Tiffany Haddish's autobiography is on there. They have a new show, Bob Newhart. Hi, Bob.
Awesome.
Okay. But, yeah, so Tiffany Haddish is how old?
Oh, she's like at 45 or something.
No, she's not.
Oh, yeah, she's been around.
But she's not 45. Anyway, what I was going to say is I love it when someone who's like 22 comes out with an autobiography. Like, let's whittle the smoke, Claire.
Tiffany,
just a little bit.
Tiffany Haddish is at least 40. Trust me on this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's been around
I don't really know. I don't really know her.
Officially, I don't know what they're saying. She's 29, but she's at least 40.
Oh, okay.
But she's been doing comedy for about 20, at least 15, 20 years.
Okay.
But she just came out. So.
All right. Well, then she's old enough to maybe have an autobiography.
Well, Bob Newhart has a show, Hi Bob, where he interviews Will Ferrell, Judd Apatow, Sarah Silverman, and other newer comics. Comics in their 40s and 50s.
Okay.
So if you get
it's kind of like Between the Pines, not Between the Ferns.
Yeah, it's trust me, it's between the heartbeats at this point with Bob Newhart. He's 95, but you know,
I have to admit, I thought that Bob Newhart had passed.
Yeah, I love.
I'm glad to hear he hasn't. But
you're the second person that said that. They're like, isn't he dead? I'm like, no, he's not dead. He's doing an Audible show
at 95.
I think he's 92 or something. But go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Check out the show. Maybe the last words Bob Newhart ever says. And we also...
Or stop it, or I'll bury you alive in a box.
Yes. Stop it. By the way, how are the levels, Trevor? Jenna seems a little low, or that mic seems a little low for...
Am I not close enough?
No, you sound great.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're a professional. I know, it seems a little tinny out there. I don't know. But Doomies Home Cooking is one of our sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic.
Love Doomies Home Cooking. Yeah. Doomies Home Cooking... It's the best vegan food you've ever eaten. Now, I know that you guys like eat, you know, you're in such great shape. You don't eat, you eat raw, you eat all vegetables all the time. But if you want to splurge and not eat meat, go to Doomies Home Cooking, 1253 Vine Street.
How are you spelling Doomies?
Doomies. Doom, like, you know, harbinger of doom.
Could have been D-O-U. Just
I know,
checking.
I know.
Could have been Middle Eastern.
Right.
Is that on Fountain?
Fountain and Vine.
Fountain and Vine.
Right next to where the M Bar used to be.
If we use your name, do we get like a 5% discount or like a free eggplant something?
If Phil's there, he might just actually.
Okay, cool.
You have to ask.
I'll work him.
Ask for Phil.
Yeah.
They have a new restaurant, Nex-Mex. We went there with Phil when he was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a miracle worker. I don't know how he does it. The nachos are vegan, but one of the best 10 best nachos in L.A.
Nice.
They have Philly cheesesteaks, pulled pork sandwiches. Hmm. The flautas are the biggest flautas I've ever seen. Vegan, delicious. I had a wet chicken burrito, unbelievable.
Pulled, not pork, right? Because
yeah, well, we were there a couple weeks ago.
Pulled on pork.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went there a couple weeks ago with the satanic rapper that we had on the show, and that's what we had. Wow. So I had the pulled pork. You had the Big Mac with the bacon cheese fries.
I did. Yeah.
Unbelievable. He's not vegan. He's from East LA. He's a hardcore guy. He's like, this is great. So especially when I'm paid for his meal. But go to Doomies Home Cooking, 1253 Vine Street. If you're in LA, we have a worldwide audience. Soon to be in Culver City. And if you're in Canada, they're in Toronto.
And the staff is just as lovely as the food.
It is. It's a cool place. It really it's just a cool place to hang out, meet people, have a nice meal. My parents are coming this weekend. I'm going to take them to Doomies. They're going to love it.
That's it sounds awesome. Like it's everything that was lacking in the one of the only unnamed vegan restaurants that I've been to.
Right.
I've lots of pretension at the unnamed vegan restaurant.
There's no pretension here.
No, not at all.
Yeah, no pretension here. It's a cool place to hang out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Das Banker bakes desserts and they're amazing.
I think we should do a fan shout out too. We got Alex this week, aka Guns and Weasels. He listens every week and thank you, Alex.
Guns and Weasels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Alex. all right. Alex has a crush on you. Good for him. Good for Alex. Everybody does.
I would like some Guns and Weasels. That's awesome.
Greta's here, and Greta, you've really
speaking of Guns and Weasels. How are you doing, Greta?
We are on the Sunset Strip, but you've lived such a life.
I have. You make it sound like it's about to come to an end.
No, there's so many chapters, and the chapters keep evolving.
Yes, they do.
I read somewhere, and you tell me if this is true or not.
Yeah.
When you were a little girl, and you grew up in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
I'm telling you, there's a
Indiana.
Whole thing.
Oh,
I
remember.
My God.
We're both from Indiana. As
where?
Well.
Where?
It's your turn right now.
All right. Well, Fort Wayne.
No. Where are you guys from?
Well, we can share hometowns.
From Indiana. She's southern Indiana. So we're all over the place.
Where in Indiana are you from?
Fort Wayne. Named after General Mad Anthony Wayne.
Okay. I knew you were from Indiana. When I saw you were from Indiana, I was like, okay, it's all coming together.
Okay.
I knew you were from the Midwest.
It's the Hoosier Hour.
And apparently Hoosiers are in great fucking shape.
Mm-hmm. But well, the when ones you get the hell out.
The ones yeah. that got out, yeah. yeah.
We didn't Good point. Fit in.
Yeah. Really did you fit in Indiana?
Not really.
Well, did I read somewhere? I read when you were a little girl, say 10 years old, mm-hmm. you wrote a play, a one-person play, and performed it in different classrooms.
Yeah. Well, that's how I got my start in show. Well, that's not my start. And by then, I was an accomplished actor. I'd done all the local theater, the Crucible kids' roles, stuff like that. But then I branched out, and I did the Alice in Wonderland's Mad Hatter Tea Party with different hats,
right,
the hat theme.
Right, right.
And it was such a success in my fifth grade class that they trotted me out to all the classrooms to do my little Mad Hatter Tea Party. So now I'm doing a one-woman torch song show, which is kind of the flip-flop of, you know.
So how did that go over?
The Mad Hatter thing or the
yeah,
torch?
Yeah, yeah. When you were 10 years old.
Oh, it was a huge success. They
were trotting you over to the other 10-year-olds.
Yeah, it was good. It gave them a break from math and science and everything they didn't want to be doing.
But that's quite precocious.
Yeah, well, you know.
That was you.
Yeah, that was me.
I do have a question. Yeah. I want to make sure that I heard it correctly.
Yeah.
Did you say that it was like a kids' edition of The Crucible?
No, there's roles for children in The Crucible. Little kids, mommy.
Oh, so you're
I played
you're
the
play,
child
right.
roles of The Crucible.
Okay,
yeah,
that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a bunch
really
of witches running around.
Of the
right. Yeah, no.
So you were a child actress.
Yeah, child actress. I started at age 4. My mom took me to the local ballet studio, and they said she's too young, which they'd only say in Indiana because in New York City or L.A. they'd go get her in class.
Yeah, she's too old.
Yes. Yeah. So they exactly. So
we
she took me. She took me next door to the Virginia Withies, who had been in Birth of a Nation and was from Fort Wayne.
Right.
And she was a local acting. So that's how I got into acting because I got rejected from ballet school because they said I was too young.
Birth of a Nation was one of the first silent films that was a big smash.
It was the first silent
like 1919. It was one of the first movies that was a full length movie.
Wow.
It was the first movie.
And one of those people taught you.
Yes.
How to act.
Yes. Yes.
That's
Virginia
amazing.
Withy and the Withy Playmakers.
Wow.
Yeah. Baby.
And when did you get the bug to go to Hollywood?
Oh, I'll tell you when I got it badly. We had a high school theater group. We took a trip to New York City when I was 16 in our theater group. And I just was standing on a corner of Times Square and I was just like, I got to get here as soon as I can.
Yeah.
You know, so that's.
And how many agents and managers flocked to you when you were a 16-year-old?
Well, no, I came and went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York. I went and studied.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And then what happened really, which is kind of interesting, since we want to be interesting.
Please.
I had gone from, because you said, were you outcast? So here's the deal. When I was in school in Indiana, I was tall and skinny. And in Indiana, they like you to be short and squat. No offense to Hoosiers. I love them. But
maybe I need to move to Indiana.
Yeah. So I was kind of theater weirdo. I was and I was kind of considered geeky because I was tall and skinny. And I'm looking at the fashion magazines going, but I look like those girls in there. So I don't think – so anyway.
I was going to say blonde bombshell like you.
But – not in Indiana at that time. But anyway, so one day I'm in New York – I'm in Fort Wayne, tall. And they called me Wilta Stelt. That was my nickname.
Oh, okay,
because I was all skinny anyway.
You are all legs. You do have a nice –
yeah, there's quite a resemblance, yes. There's a lot of originality in the nicknames I had.
Yes.
Two that I –
What were your nicknames, Jared?
It was actually a racial slur, but not even the correct one for my ethnicity. So it's kind of like, oh, yeah, Wilta Stilt, because you're tall.
Yeah.
I'm a white woman. And for me, mine was a Mexican racial slur, and I'm Italian.
Right.
And it's like, I'll teach you the correct one.
Yeah.
It's just Indiana.
If you want to be a bully, let me show you how to do it correctly.
But here was the funny thing. So one day I'm in Indiana, Wilta Stilt, ha, 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 she's tall and skinny and weird.
Right.
Literally the next day when I moved to New York to go to acting school, I'm walking down the street and all these modeling agents are handing me their cards on the street.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know? So it was like it happened in one instant.
Right.
You know? So that's my story.
Wow. And then
actually it wasn't that entertaining, but kind of entertaining.
Well, it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
but
it's okay.
Well, still. But you dunked it. I would say, you dunked it. You dunked it.
Yeah. Well, I am good at whenever I throw trash in a can, it always lands. And I go, I'm from Indiana. You guys, you learn how to shoot hoops. You learn how to
I
get
wrestled,
your trash
so
in
I
the can.
I wrestled, so I was the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I can knock the can over.
Ah, there you go. Or hug it and roll around on the floor with
it. But pretty soon,
you
start getting in some pretty big movies.
Yeah.
Now, I think most people actually – oddly enough, even though you've been in bigger movies and TV shows, most people know you're from V, the final battle.
Yeah, well, those my V fans I love to death. They're so great. They're such, you know, they're sci-fi fans. They're fanatical and they're great.
Which was a miniseries in the 80s.
Yep.
Where the aliens attacked. You played a lizard.
I was a good lizard.
You were a good lizard.
Yeah, I was a good lizard.
And the aliens attacked and the aliens were living among us. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a big deal so I started researching you, and there's, because there's Trekkies, there's Star Wars fans.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a whole V, like.
I was at Fox. I go to Foxwoods every year. They have a Comic-Con there, and it's crazy. I'm friends with the fan club people. They're great people. They're really terrific. They're all professional. They're graphic artists. They're lawyers. They're whatever. And they are fanatical V fans.
And you were there you were acting alongside Robert Englund before he was Freddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was at Comic-Con this year, by the way.
Oh, really?
So
okay, yeah.
Him, yeah.
He was like a nerd on the show.
Yeah.
And you were like the hot alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I saved the world from nuclear destruction.
Well, thank you very much for that.
We wouldn't be sitting in this bunker were it not for me, basically.
Sweet. And I think there's also a subsection of fans who probably know you from your nude scene in 48 Hours.
Oh, thank you for reminding everybody about that. It's a semi-nude scene. Semi. But
it's still Eddie Murphy.
No, you know what's weird? You run into people to this day.
Well, I was
going to
ask you what you think about it. Now I know.
Okay, so here's the thing. Even today, I'll be on the street in New York or wherever, and I'll have somebody walk up to me, usually a guy, and he'll go, I know you from 48 Hours. Yeah, I freeze-framed that one. And I'm like, oh, let me get this. Let me get a vision of you staring at my butt for like an hour. You know, it's like, well, how do you respond to that? Like, thanks.
Guys, as our guest next week, dating coach Marnie will tell you. Marnie the Wing Girl. That's not a good move.
No.
Don't say you freeze frame somebody's. No.
Creepy.
I could
creepy.
Tell you that's not a good move.
Not a good move. No, no. But you were in 48 Hours.
Don't
with...
admit to it anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you. Keep a little subtlety. Please.
Keep that under your hat, please. But,
boom, boom, boom.
But did you? I don't think you had any scenes with Eddie Murphy, did you? It was all Nick Nolte and.
Yeah. Yeah.
James Remar, who's been in everything, and he's played your abusive boyfriend.
No, I was a hooker. I was my abusive, what do you call it? Client. No, John. He wasn't my pimp. He was my client.
Oh, okay. So he was your John.
Yeah. No. Yeah, John. Yes, you're right.
Trust me. I know the terms.
Okay.
So, what I read was that Walter Hill was very, when you had your semi-nude scene,
mm-hmm.
Walter Hill, which I actually did not see this week. I'm sure I've seen it when I saw the movie, but I haven't seen the movie in a long time. But he cleared the set, made everything very professional.
Yeah, where'd you read that? Because he was totally cool. He goes, who do you want on this set? I go, as few as possible. And they even had, Playboy magazine had a photographer there saying, can we shoot you? I said, no.
Right.
But later, what people do is they took stills from the movie and published them. I'm like, no, there were no photographers around. You guys can't do that. It's not fair.
Well,
but they did.
Yeah, there's a whole, especially with the internet, there's a whole industry of people that collect nude scenes and post them. And Mr. Skin, are you familiar with that?
No.
There's a there's a website called Mr. Skin where all they do is like they show of movies. I don't know how they do it with copyright, but
yeah,
they show just the nude scenes of the movies.
Well,
so I'll bet you're on there. I don't know how they do it.
Well, I'll tell you what a shocking moment in my life was, and this was some time ago. A friend of mine called. It was a Sunday afternoon. I remember this. It was in Studio City. They called and said, have you seen some movie called Celeb Secrets or Celeb Skin? Or anyway, I
right.
go, no, I haven't. And they said, you might want to run down and get that. And I went down, and it's this magazine where they've got
Celebrity Skin.
Yeah, these shots of actresses naked, and I'm flipping. I go, why do they want me to see? And, two pages of me with boom, 48 hours. I'm like, it just felt weird.
I mean, that's 35 years ago.
I know. Well,
I mean, the one you shot. I mean,
it was a little bit after the movie came out.
Right, but I mean, people are still looking you up and checking you out.
I know, and I love it. I saw you in 48 hours. I mean, I saw you in 48 hours.
So let me.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
But Nick Nolte was cool.
No comment.
That's all I need to know. But James Remar was okay.
Yeah, he's actually a very nice guy. He's he's gorgeous too.
Yeah,
he's really gorgeous. He's good looking.
All right, still is.
Yeah.
Or have you?
Well, I haven't seen him super recently, but
back then he was
stunning. Yeah.
And Nick Nolte in person.
Well, we're talking about a person who's got some issues.
Yeah, it always has.
That's not a surprise.
Well, speaking of people that have issues, I actually...
These guys?
No. Everybody has issues. If anybody says they do not,
yeah.
Oh, run. Run for the hills. Right. Do not run for the hills.
And I told you a couple weeks ago, I ran across, because I had never seen it, the movie Yellowbeard.
Yeah.
This movie, I recommend this, is like a who's who of everybody that was a comic actor in the early 80s. Madeline Kahn, Cheech and Chong, everybody from Monty Python, John Cleese, Marty Feldman, like... They're all in this movie. It's so weird. Peter Boyle and
who I became very good friends with.
And James Mason.
When people say to me, what's your favorite role? It's like I have to say, hands down, working with James Mason. And most of our stuff ended up on the cutting room floor, both of our stuff.
And your character's name was?
Mr. Prostitute.
Mr. Prostitute. We explained this.
he snuck me on board a ship, like a pirate ship, we'll call it.
Because they can't have any women on the board.
Yeah, by painting a little fake mustache on my face and calling me Mr. Prostitute. Other than that, I was dressed as a man. But that was the most amazing experience because acting with him was...
Academy Award winner.
Well, it was like taking 5 years of acting classes with the best acting teacher in the world, just being on set with him for whatever amount
of time.
Even
though it was just a silly role.
I get tingles just thinking about it. He was amazing.
Right.
He was amazing.
But this is a movie. Apparently, it was written for Keith Moon, and he died. So Graham Chapman from Monty Python played Yellowbeard, and you and James Mason. The funniest thing, it cracked me up when I was watching it because they're like, well, who's gonna take over as captain? They keep yelling like the main guy's name. Then somebody's like, what about Mr. Prostitute? And you give this smirk, and it's the funniest thing. Well, I heard like Mick Jagger and David Bowie would hang out. David Bowie plays a cabin boy.
The set was there were so many really accomplished, fabulous people that it was like the place to be. Well, we were shooting down in Iztapalapa, everyone in the world, Bowie, I think Mick Jagger came down, but it was like it was everybody wanted to be down there to hang with all of us, because it was just the party place to be. It was like
it goes without saying they had the best drugs down there, I'm sure.
I don't know, but
I'm not saying that you took them. I'm saying
probably.
You got Cheech and Chong and Monty Python and David Bowie, it's like a comedy dream team.
Yeah, probably.
And you were in somebody else that I heard that you didn't you weren't impressed with, but you work with Steve Martin.
Oh, don't get me. You're going to get me in trouble.
All right. Well, you are in My Blue Heaven with Steve Martin.
And let me just say, okay, I'm going to truth here.
All right. We're getting the dirt now.
Yeah, we're getting the dirt. That part, that movie was so funny on paper. So funny.
He didn't seem right for it. It seemed like
he was so wrong.
It was like a Joe Pesci part, but he's playing the Joe Pesci part.
He couldn't get the accent, and we spent so.
So I've never seen it. I always saw the commercials and was like,
it was just. It could have been a big hit.
Was that Nora Ephron? Who directed that?
No, she didn't direct it. Who did direct it? I don't remember.
She may have written it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, she might have written it. I don't remember who directed
it. This movie, oddly enough, is a semi-sequel to Goodfellas.
And it's a real Goombas. He's supposed to be playing a real Goombas.
It's based on the guy. After he is in, like, it was based on, like, there's a part of the book that they didn't shoot for Goodfellas about him being in suburban land, and they translated that into My Blue Heaven and made it a comedy.
And put Steve Martin in the Goomba, the role you
Ray Liotta's
play
character?
Being Italian.
It was based on Ray Liotta's character, but basically they changed they changed the names. They made it a comedy. Rick Moranis is, like, the FBI agent that he checks in with. And so Steve Martin's walking around like, hey, I'm a mafia guy, from what I've seen in the commercials. And
well, that's actually a better rendition.
I'm a better actor than Steve Martin.
You know,
honest.
I never found him funny. Steve Martin, I don't like him.
Well, I think Steve Martin's been great in a lot of things. He had black hair in this, and from what I've seen, it was terrible. But you were the stewardess, and I think he like tips you really big or something. Is that...
You know what? I'm blocking the whole thing. Because
I don't blame you.
It was so excruciating. Well, he was the wrong guy for the role. That's right. All. He was miscast.
Well, from My Blue Heaven to what has to be heaven. Now, you guys, you're both from Indiana. Yep. Now, when did you first meet each other? Because I know I've seen you guys all over the place.
Yeah, it was at the second week that I had lived here in L.A. I just moved, and my friend Cleve Hall was telling me, he just knew that I moved here, I was... depressed, like literally in a depression, because I was broke. Because
LA will do that to you.
Yeah, well, I had just started, and but anyway, Cleve had told me the first weekend, go check out Bar Sinister. Second weekend, he said, go check out Das Bunker.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just walking around Das Bunker, just taking in the views, and ended up getting introduced to her. And we just small talk, found out we were from Indiana.
Yeah.
And just kept in touch via Facebook. Her phone broke. I gave her my old one. And said, so we just kept in contact. And then we both needed, in an emergency situation, well, I'll say urgent situation, both needed to find an apartment. Moving
right
out of where we were individually. And we were like, hey, you know, let's give it a shot. You know, people can be great friends and not mesh well as roommates. So we were really taking a risk, but.
No, I mean, honestly, she's a beautiful woman, but were you attracted at the first time you met her? Or?
Yeah, I was blown away because the person that introduced us had said, hey, I want to introduce you to my girlfriend. And I thought just friend, but it was his girlfriend at the time. But, you know, when we walked around the corner and I'm like, oh, shit. And oh hi, and the,
yeah.
But yeah, so when I found,
of course, I was a little more naked because
you usually are in the clubs, yeah.
It was Das Bunker.
Yeah, Das Bunker. And did you feel the same way when you first met him? I know you were in a relationship. It seems like,
but still, I mean, you can't not look at him and go, Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, here's the thing.
How did you get those shoulders? And I'm saying that like, how did you get those shoulders?
For
you know, so it was still shocking.
Yeah.
And then to find out, yeah, he's from Indiana and he was a personal trainer. And I was like, so was I.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
For our radio listeners, these are two very muscular people. Very attractive. And Hannah, now, I've read, and Greta, you can chime in on this too. But you're a personal trainer and fitness guru.
I'm not a personal trainer.
Well, you've
no.
I'm sorry, you're a fitness guru. Excuse me.
Thank you.
But I've read that women like just like regular skinny guys, and then when this guy walks in, I see them lose their mind.
I personally like guys in shape.
No, but so. I mean, do you like them in that kind of shape?
I would take that over super skinny. Yeah.
Okay, but
it's it's not for everybody. Yeah. Everybody. And I'm
trust me, I posted your picture, and a lot of people were like, wait a second, how do you know this guy? How do I get to know him?
The reason why I chime in is because a lot of people view my physique as like the ultimate masculine physique. And I'm the first one that will readily say that's bullshit. Like, whatever physique somebody has, that's exactly what they're supposed to look like. You shouldn't aspire, like, if for your own self, you want to, well, you know, I want to lose a little weight or whatever, but if you're always trying to be, like, aiming for what this person looks like, that's not you, so you're never going to be there.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to step over bounds and speak for females, but women are attracted to so many different types. Everybody's got their type.
Right. So but I think a lot of them are attracted to you more than a lot of other guys.
Possibly. I can't speak for
I think you've taken off your shirt and had women go crazy.
Yeah.
And I think and Jenny, you're because from a male perspective, I've always been attracted to you. You know that. That's been obvious.
But I think
you may be a little too muscular for some men. Some men might be intimidated.
I actually kind of intimidate a lot of females too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, coming out, I'm pansexual. I love women and men.
Yeah.
But I tend to look at a person's heart, and that's what I fall in love with. And then whatever physique they happen to have, that's then what turns me on.
Right.
So I saw him, and I appreciated this.
Yes.
As a personal trainer.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh, man, I've got a boner. You know, it wasn't like that at all for a long time.
By the way, I do, but
now, yes.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, especially as roommates, we had just like this glass wall between us, and I did not allow myself to look at him as a sexual being.
Right.
He was more like, I'm a lot older, so I was like, oh, this is my little brother.
Oh,
I know that sounds sick.
And that's,
but,
and that's the
whatever,
I didn't know you were older. I didn't know that.
I am older than he is.
Right.
And
Hannah?
Yes.
See, you were asking if that's okay?
Yeah, I was asking if that was okay. Yeah.
For women to be older than men? I think absolutely. Men seem to mature a whole lot slower than women
they
do.
They do,
if
yeah
at all.
yeah. Well, I actually, I just, and this is a very timely quote, I read it. two or three weeks ago.
Right.
But it actually, it stated that, and I agree with it, but it's not that biologically necessarily that women mature faster than men. It's that men are allowed to continue to get away with the childish bullshit. Women, girls at an early age are told, no, you can't do, behave, act, you know, act like a lady. And guys are able, into adulthood, able to continue doing immature stuff, and it's kind of accepted by society.
Well, especially these days. I mean, it just everything, it's the society is really infantilizing men.
Bless you.
All the superhero movies, all the, you know, it's used to be Nerdist. It used to be like, just, and you know, it's fun, but it's like, it's really going backwards. But how did the glass wall break?
Yeah. Oh.
That's what we want to know. We're,
we went in the dirt.
Enough with the foreplay.
When we were roommates, one or both of us were otherwise in a relationship.
Right.
So we just both had to actively maintain that boundary. No physical. And we had to be very open with each other that we were very physically, sexually attracted to each other. That way you're not trying to hide it. It's right. Something that's out in the open that we can actively manage.
There were several evenings where I was like, I have to go to bed now.
Right.
And just like walk away, lock my door, and then masturbate and go, okay, now I can go to sleep. I didn't do anything wrong. Right. It was just me.
We didn't even so literally much as kiss just, the entire
this
time.
This is what has to happen.
Yeah, so when you're walking around with a towel on your dick and, yeah.
Well, one time I did come home from school. And I'm just like, I'm heading straight to the bedroom. I'm just going to go get Pixel and play with Kai. And those I hear from behind, you're home early. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he was like,
"Don't come
I
in the
didn't
kitchen.
Know I'm naked.
Yeah, so I'm so strategically like, positioned around the corner of the counter. I just didn't want to be disrespectful.
No, and he never, he absolutely never was. But I ended up moving away. I moved to Tacoma and worked in Seattle for a little while. And
I didn't know that.
She was gone for a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's when I was gone, yeah.
I wanted to find healing, you know, because, like, hurt people, and I didn't want to get into another relationship and carry any of the fucking baggage that I had from the prior ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, didn't date, and just sought out therapy. So that's what I was doing and working. And then I finally was like, you know what? I feel like I'm ready. I'm ready to date again.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. I'm going to be okay. So I signed up for, Bumble? The women Tinder. Whatever, it's fine.
Is that a woman Tinder?
It's Tinder for women because we kind of have the control.
Not like women for women, but it's...
No, no, I tried Bumble. I tried them all.
It protects women as far as not... giving creepers as much access to harass.
Isn't because that the one where the women pick the guys? Is like the woman has to pick the guy or something.
Yeah, I didn't do too well.
I'll be comfortable with this one. But I was like working nonstop, so I didn't really kind of engage because if you talk to somebody and they don't respond within 24 hours, you lose that connection. So you really genuinely can't just be a fucking creeper on there. And so I was like, okay, fine. There's a couple of them, but I'm going to wait. But he and I, just being best friends, he kept in contact and was making sure that I was taken care of. And he would just send me, like, Whole Foods gift coupons so that I could, like, go and eat.
So you
and actually have some
and
food.
Send her the number for the
Seattle
gift.
Seattle is just as expensive as Los Angeles.
It's more expensive.
It's insane now. Anyway, so he would make sure that I was eating well. And we just started talking. And finally, one day, he said, can you think about possibly coming back to Los Angeles and giving us a shot? And I was like, you know, can I have 2 weeks?
Right.
To think about this, I just I don't want to make another mistake. I don't want to hurt anybody else.
There were a couple guys on Bumble. Yeah, I understand.
I'm just getting back into this. Just kind of give me a chance. Took time off of work and, like, quite literally just found every fucking park and walked every trail.
Right.
And, like, anywhere from Tacoma all the way up to Everett, Washington.
Right.
And finally realized, I was like, you know what? He absolutely fits in every single check mark that I need or want or desire from a man.
Right.
I guess I'm going to drive home. It was really one of those things where I'm like, all right, I going to stop the 3 or 4 jobs that I have here, and I'm going to drive back home to Los Angeles. And so that will be November 13th will be our 2nd year anniversary.
Yay.
Yeah, we've been best friends for 6 years and partners for 2 years.
Now, was it the age thing that was the big catch, or was it the...
No, it was not
at all.
It was just like...
I mean, on your end, like, what was the thing?
I didn't even realize it until we sat down and we were, like, getting our apartment.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
Because I wouldn't have realized
it. He had found this huge bed, and we were really under a lot of pressure to find something.
Once we were already together.
They had been holding on to it for close to 30-plus days.
Yeah.
So, for a long time, they're holding on to our furniture. So, I was like, fine, fuck it. I'm just going to look on Craigslist. And 9 o'clock at night, we showed up at this one place, and we're like, do you have anything available? And she was like, ah, absolutely. So we saw it, we're like, sign the papers.
So I'm filling out, I fill out my birth date, and I'm like, my note, July 22nd, what, I mean, we knew each other's year of birth, but what year of birth? Or we knew how old, and she's like,
your
July
mom.
22nd, your mom.
This is the first time I was like, oh my God, you're so young.
it's 10 years difference.
Yeah,
it's not
huge,
but
no.
It seems huge.
It's nothing. Who cares?
We don't really. But no, it wasn't the age. It was that one or both of us were otherwise in relationships at the time. And coming out of those relationships, we each had just a lot of damage. And like you said, hurt people continue to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
So we... you know, took time to heal before even considering. And I had told myself, I'm like, you know what? I'm fine being single, even from here on out, you know, dating and spending, but doing my thing, because quite obviously nothing has worked out.
Right.
It's gone horribly awry.
But I have a question.
Yeah.
So you're driving from Tacoma. You guys have decided. I got a picture. I'm viewing this as a movie. I see the moment you pull up to the curb. Did you like?
It was.
Yeah, I was getting there. Yeah.
It was actually.
It
because
was so awkward. It was so awkward.
It was awkward because for so long, for so many years, we'd had to toe that line and keep that barrier. So when we're like, wait, okay, it's in our minds. We're like, wait, it's okay to kiss.
How do I
and
even
it was
hold
awkward.
You? I don't know what. How does this
so
work?
It was a new dynamic that we're like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is okay.
But
like,
you know what I'm saying?
I see the
car pulling up to the curb, and I see the slow-mo of her taking her clothes off.
The music swells.
Grabbing her, and that dog comes leaping into frame.
Nope,
you know,
no,
it was,
not even close.
It was actually, it more resembled, well, it was two best friends who hadn't seen each other in years. Just like hugging for so long that.
So it wasn't like the close up, the kiss, and you're going towards the
camera. Right?
No. Yeah, not quite storybook that part anyway.
Do you guys lift together?
Whenever we can, especially when our leg days coincide, that's always fun.
Oh, okay. Now, you've both been personal trainers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you both have done boot camps, I'm assuming.
I haven't taught them, nor have I done them, because I know personally I could not handle it. So anybody who does that form, hats off, absolutely. But yeah, I would get my
Jenna?
Ass handed to me.
Well, I mean, I was certified in Tabata, which is pretty close. I mean, I'm sure that like you understand, like it's a high intensity interval training.
Oh, okay.
So that's boot camp. She started it, and then all of these things kind of like sprung off of it. So
yeah, but what we did at my fit camps was we would, for example, have Tabata at. Well, we'd start with like a yoga and what a hell hike, your options. But we'd go all day long. Tabata or HIIT training would be one of the 10 things available during the day. And the people, I'd have women coming from Kansas who literally would collapse at the end of the day, but happily so.
Yeah.
You know, happily so. And the hell hike is scary.
Well,
I mean,
10 hours with you, I'd have to.
Right,
that, so.
Yeah.
But you've done boot camps, right?
I haven't done boot camps. I've done a lot of classes, though.
This is the woman who invented
boot camps. I mean, when I say that, people go, oh, no, I invented them. They're in 1990, and it's hard to imagine now because it's like Kleenex. How do you think, well, when there wasn't Kleenex? Well, of course there's always, there wasn't always Kleenex.
Right.
So with the boot camps, literally, there was, at the time I came up with this idea, and I took a bunch of people up to Big Bear, California, and we went to the Goosens boxing camp up there, and Oscar De La Hoya was working out with my girls, and Riddick Bowe, and they went, who are these guys? I'm like, when do you go home and show your husbands the pictures? They know who these, and they call me, my husband's flipping out, because they're like, Oscar
Right.
But, anyway, the point is, there was like the Golden Door Spa, you know, lemongrass powder puff on your butt, and or Marine boot camp. You know, there weren't There weren't fitness camps. They didn't exist. I was right. sitting at a doctor's office looking at kids' summer camps, and I went, I want to go to summer camp, except I want to work out all day, and that, that'd be really – wait, right. I'm going to make this up, and well, I
well,
did.
Well, let's back up here because your acting career.
Yeah.
So how did you transition from the acting career to being a fitness guru that you are?
So happily. Well – okay, I'm going to give the short version. First of all, when I was in Indiana, I was a nerd. Again, tall, skinny nerd. I was the last person picked for any team. There was a very overweight girl named Maria Dukin, who was Russian, and skinny Greta. We never got picked for anything. I couldn't move. But Revenge of the Nerds, after I went to New York and started acting and all that. Anyway, I started working out. Right. So as I was acting, I was also training and getting into all kinds of things. So now I've been typecast because of 48 Hours. Mm-hmm. Every role they call me about is, you're the nymphomaniac getting out of the jacuzzi. And then, and I'm like, really? So I got a call. There was a show on the air called Silk Stockings.
I remember that.
Okay. I actually remember that.
So I'm married to my first husband, and they call me from Silk Stockings, and S-T-A-L-K.
Yes,
and they want me to come down to San Diego, and they're right. literally describing, you're the doctor's wife, nymphomaniac, who's cheating. And I hung up the phone, and I turned to my husband, and they go, they need to get some flipping playmate to do this. I'm an actor.
Right.
And I went, I can't do this anymore, you know? So I had been asked, because I'd done a cover of a fitness magazine called Natural Body and Fitness.
Okay.
With a bunch of other actors. And also a Canadian publication, Muscle Mag. But anyway, the publisher of Natural Body and Fitness said, I want you to be the editor, because they'd made some suggestions about some stuff for the magazine.
Right.
And I had a journalism background.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I want you to be the editor. My editor's been doing this and that, and I'm getting rid of him. And I said, I don't even know what that means. Anyway, after Silk Stockings called, I turned to my husband. I said, I'm going to do this publishing thing. I get to be right. the boss. I don't have to be the nymphomaniac getting out of the jacuzzi.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So that's
I'm sure your husband was thrilled when you told him you'd
well,
never
he
be
wasn't,
a maniac.
No, he didn't. He was fine. He was.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. Know.
But yeah, a typical guy would have been jealous, but whatever. Anyway, so I transitioned. I went, I get to be the boss. I get
right.
to create things. I get to write. And that's how I transitioned. It was like, bye-bye. I will circle back to Hollywood when I have control.
Right.
I write, which is what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a long break doing the fitness and then ultimately getting into biotech and telomere biology and all that.
Well, you just went from a pictorial to, they said, edit the magazine?
Well, I had written a little thing for him, a little
okay.
fun little thing, and I made some suggestions about cover lines and stuff.
Right.
He goes, you're really good at this. I go, well, I have a journalistic
right.
have a journalism
right,
background.
Right.
So that's how it happened. But yeah, literally, he went out on a limb and saw that I had that in me to do. So
and that became Miss Fitness?
No, and then that magazine went out of business during the period when all the magazines were folding. And
right.
the publisher, the Wally Boyko, who started the Miss Fitness competitions,
mm-hmm.
When he wanted a fitness, there were no fitness competitions. It was all heavy duty. He goes,
right.
I want to have chicks that are really fit, but they don't look like guys.
Right.
So let's invent fitness competitions, females. So he goes, let's have a magazine that goes with it. And I want you to be the publisher.
Wow.
I mean the editor. So that's how that happened.
What year is that?
That's like the mid to late 80s.
Okay.
I mean, it actually sounds like a perfect fit.
For
you.
Yeah.
Just the opportunity.
You having
both
of those backgrounds
yeah.
being able to
yeah.
tackle
and
something that
it didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Didn't
yeah.
exist.
Yeah. It was a timing thing, and it was perfect, and thank you. And then I got sick of the fit. Everybody, whoever in the gym touches the dumbbell first is trainer for the day.
Right.
You know that. Mm-hmm. People who are completely unqualified. Like, I touch the barbell, I'm trainer for the day. Knock yourself out.
Right.
And so having invented fitness boot camps, having worked with Johnny G when he was inventing what became spinning, having been involved in bringing Billy
Blank. You invented spinning too?
I didn't invent it. I didn't
okay.
say that.
All
I
right.
worked with Johnny G. He goes, mate, I need help with this. So we did some marketing stuff. And anyway, and Johnny's a great guy, and he came up with a great
okay.
protocol that's a standard now. It's funny. I'll go to a
But you were
site.
Involved with the You were in the ground floor of spinning.
Yeah, he and I were working out, and he was like, what do you think of this, mate? And what do you, and so it was like I was just giving him a little marketing help more than
right.
anything, because he was a fanatic. His idea of fun on a Thanksgiving weekend was 18 hours on a VersaClimber.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
Like, what's he doing? He's on the VersaClimber. It's been 17 hours. He's got one more to go.
Wow.
Literally.
I didn't mean to stop you because you were just about to talk about Billy Blanks.
Well, brought him out from the East Coast and let him sleep on my couch and drive my motorcycle and help him get situated in L.A. to start. He had originally called Taibo Chirobics, but my magazine owned that name. Anyway, helping him get his
Oh, really?
Yeah. So anyway, help Billy Blanks.
That was an eye roll for you on the listening on the radio.
Anyway, God bless him. So involved in helping a lot of things get going because right. I have, you know, I got a big mouth, as you can see. Anyway,
that's what I like about you.
Got sick of the fitness industry. Everybody's a fitness trainer. Everybody, no disrespect to you guys, you obviously, but you know. The bullshit. No, well, you know, yeah, the bullshit.
And with Instagram, everybody's...
Everyone's a fitness model with their butt in the air.
Yeah. Some tea or whatever.
Give me a break. So
like, please get off your phone and just work out.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there are chicks that are like eyelash experts that now have... They're like, hair, be your best. I'm like, you're a flipping lash specialist. What are you doing? And by the way, you are flabby. But that's another story. So
but
I...
if there wasn't a market for it and people flocking to it, so it's not... firsthand their fault they wouldn't thrive if there weren't people that were flocking to the emptiness.
No,
it,
they're idiots, they need to get a life. But anyway, they need to be you're kinder than I am. Yeah. I'm not. So
your camp was Fit Camp.
Yeah, Fit Camp.
And when really these other boot camps started going up, what did you think? Well, people took your idea and ran with it. Now it's in like every gym.
Well, what are you going to do? You can't trademark and what's funny about that is once I did my formula, I had a lot of trial and error to make that thing work. So people can step into the breach now, and, but it's like, man, you have no idea what it, anyway, whatever. Right. But I got, and I'm like, so finally one day I realized, okay, what's it matter if you can have a perfect butt and you can do 1,000 leg lifts if you're dead? If you're dead, that doesn't matter. So longevity. And so my next zeitgeistian sense of what the big thing was, it's about living longer. So you can enjoy, you can do your butt lifts, you can do your squats, you can touch the dumbbell and be the trainer for the day. But you got to be alive to do that, not in a ground in a box with dirt in your face.
Right.
So I segued into the world of anti-aging. And
100 is the new 50.
100 is the new 50. That was 2 days of a focus group at the very top marketing guy to come up with that one, and now everybody's saying that. But anyway, so now, let's get to now.
Okay, we're getting to now.
My right brain side, here's what I discovered in the world of science.
Right.
There is no one with a bigger ego than a doctor. So all of the egos Hollywood, all the actors with, you know what? They're good looking and they're entertaining, and doctors are not always. So I went, wait a minute. If I'm going to have to deal with huge egos and pontificating, I'll be around my actor friends again. And my right brain needed to surface again. So now my thing is circling back to showbiz and the music, and I'm creating a genre of music that will literally de-age you at a cellular level. We'll have scientific proof, and I'm out there singing, and I just did a Shakespeare play in New York, and I'm back in acting, baby, and I'm going to get my own projects funded or write them or whatever, and I'm not going to do the silk stockings jacuzzi scene.
Oh, no.
You know.
Good for you.
Or if I do, it'll be because I'm coming out of the jacuzzi singing one of my original songs.
And on your own terms.
On my own terms.
And, that's awesome. So how... tell us about living longer. I mean, you're in amazing shape.
Oh, man. I just came from a conference that blew my flipping mind, and I've been going to these for like 20, 25 years. RADFEST, RAADFEST. All the stuff we've been talking about for 15, 20 years that's on the horizon is now so close. There is a clinical trial right now that will reverse full-body skin rejuvenation. So pick the age you want your skin to be. Six, scars too easily. 15 to 20, perfect. Clinical trial about to begin. Brain rejuvenation, gene therapy, switching genes off and on.
Right.
Protocols for I'm going to actually have a portal where people can go in and see the research and see what cocktail of vitamins you need to be taking that absolutely work.
Is that how you look so amazing in you?
Well, thank you. You know, I have good genetics. I take care of myself, et cetera.
Right.
Okay. So yeah. And thanks. But you know what? It's good. It's just, we're so close.
Cause I've seen your Instagram too.
Yeah. Well, I don't have my butt in the air.
But you're outdoing people in the gym. You're outlifting them.
Oh, that's not true. I'm not outlifting them. I'm not outlifting her right now. I'm walking and doing yoga and I'm singing. I'm not, you know.
I've seen a couple things where you You were in the gym and you were lifting and you were doing
things. Well, I mean, I'm a little shredded for a skinny chick. I mean, I'm lean. I'm New York body now. You know, I'm a New York body now.
Okay.
My fit campers go, you had so much muscle at camp. It's like, yeah, well, that was my L.A. body. I'm in New York now. And it's like I'm sleek and lean and panther-like.
Right.
Yeah.
Because last time when you were on the show, my then co-host asked you how long it would take me to get in your kind of shape. And you said like a year. Is that right?
Well, I don't remember saying that. That doesn't mean I didn't say it, but
yeah. Probably more than that.
I've been at it 16 years, so you know, there'll be guys in the gym that'll ask me, "Oh, how long?" And one guy, you know, I said at the time I'd been at it 13 years, like, "Oh man, I was hoping he'd say like 6 months."
Oh God!
And again, I'm very overly nice and I positively frame the calling people out, but I just said, well, you know, you'll have results in 6 months. Your biggest results and bursts of change are going to be in that first year. But if you then stop, no matter how long, if you've been at it 6 months, 6 years, 16 years, you've got to maintain. So it's a matter of being a lifestyle. So, you know, if somebody, a male or female, really aspires to have a lot of muscle mass, but you don't have the time or you hate being indoors in a gym, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, be more realistic with your goals. You can become extremely fit. It just won't be that form. It won't be bodybuilder size.
Right.
If you love being outdoors and doing boot camps or, you know, long-distance biking or marathon running, like you find what you enjoy and then excel at that.
And everybody's body type is different. I'm a bigger body type than Trevor over here. And so it will probably
genetics play a huge thing.
Well, the only two out of shape people in here, Trevor, I gotta call you out.
and not just genetics. What did you do as a child? So I grew up on a farm and we were lifting hay bales. So of course my delts are gonna be huge.
Right.
And I don't have to do as much as the typical person to have broad shoulders. I had to have them because my dad wanted boys. Right. And boys typically do a lot of heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. He didn't. He had two girls.
Right.
And both of us are really big up top. Mm-hmm. So, like, doing this kind of thing and putting hay bales where they need to be.
Right.
You know, like, that's also a part of it.
Right.
Granted, anybody who takes time off is going to experience muscle atrophy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. You can't just...
But don't go crazy.
You can't think you're going to just stay at one level the rest of your life. Nothing is static.
Hannah misses 2 days at the gym. Exactly. She's like, I'm out of shape. I'm awful.
Yeah.
But that's not the truth.
Yeah, but
nothing in nature is static. You're either growing or dying. And so just like what Greta was saying, she was like, no, you can do things. You can use like binary beats and different wavelengths to work with the cells and mm-hmm. what you eat and what you do, how you are working them specifically to your genetic disposition.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you may not be able to look exactly like me, but you could develop this hourglass figure by doing specific things for your particular body type.
And finding something that's sustainable with your schedule. I mean, if somebody's trying to dedicate more time, if somebody's got, you know, a 9-to-5 job and they've got two kids and a relationship, you've got to be realistic. You're not going to, if you try and spend 3 hours a day in the gym, you're no longer going to have a marriage.
Right.
And just as far as physically sustainable, as far as the long run, there really aren't many bodybuilders that if they stay that size, they usually don't live past 50 or 60. The body just can't handle. And it's not even just a matter of any extra supplements that you're running through your body, just that sheer mass.
Are you afraid of that?
Holding about,
I am.
I'm making a lot of change. I don't lift heavy. I'm not aiming to compete.
Right.
I'm aiming for more sustainable and just being overall healthy.
Right.
So, you know, there's a point where, you know, I was at a point where old enough to know better, still too young to care. Like knowing in the horizon that there might be problems with joints breaking down or heart valves just from sheer size. But now, I feel fortunate that at 35, I'm already changing everything.
Right.
And especially living in L.A., as much money as we pay to live here, we need to enjoy more things than just being in the gym. That's what we did in the Midwest, and that's why we got our start working out there,
because
there's not shit to do. But here in L.A., there's so many so much of any type of lifestyle to go and enjoy. So that building the sustainability and staying
safe. You ever go to these fetish clubs? They are always there. But now, last time I saw you, besides a couple times where we've seen each other since I've been back in town, we filmed Lana Steele, Makeup Spy.
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious.
And you were complaining about the production because you thought it was unprofessional. Have you done
more? There was a lot. There was a lot where I'm like, oh, come on, guys. Just a couple of days of pre-production meetings, and this could have been just that quick.
Now, have you
not cost more money?
Have you been acting since? Have you been in anything that coming
actually,
out?
Actually, yeah. I was in The Happy Time Murders.
The new Muppets movie. Well, were you a puppet? What was going on?
Was I a puppet? No, actually, I went in as a bodybuilder, which is kind of funny.
Now so I got to see this. Now so you tell
I was
me.
I was on for 2 days, and actually, they cut my big scene with Melissa. And I don't blame them. If I was the editor, I would have done the exact same thing. Although, relatively cute, it was fine. It didn't
did a puppet,
add,
did, a puppet did a puppet spooge on you?
I wish. No, well,
no, that's the whole thing. It's like it's all puppet sperm. Like,
well, this is what
it's like
me,
silly string of down.
What gave me my original idea on like, okay, this is not your typical PG Muppet movie.
They didn't tell them when they were on set.
They did not say what
was
going on.
Themed Muppet
my
movie.
Second day on set was just screen and basically me bending over with my ass directly at the camera.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what they're planning on using this for. This doesn't seem
movie.
Like a Muppet movie.
But she came home and said, I don't think this is necessary. I don't know how they're going to use this footage. For
I don't even know why I was bending over in the first place. But okay, it's fine, whatever. But so I'm actually like, you'll see me at least 3 times.
And Melissa McCarthy was cool?
Oh my God, she's so fucking awesome.
She has a clothing line.
Literally just like a badass female.
And she's so funny too.
Oh God, she is very funny. So but the scene that they cut made perfect sense. It was not as funny as what they left in. And at one point, like, she's walking around trying to, like, do her job as an investigator. And she has a picture of one of the puppets from the Happy Time.
Murders.
From the Happy Time gang.
Oh, Happy Time gang.
Right. So they're all being killed. That's the point. Oh, okay, it's the Happy Time murders. So it was a TV show.
Right.
She's trying to investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's walking around with this photo. And she's like, have you seen this Muppet? And I was like, what? No. it was not funny, but it was exciting. Instead, she runs across a crab and some other, like, varmint in a trash can. And they're like, I'll suck your dick for $1. And she was like, I don't have a dick. And they're like, I don't believe you. There was so much funny in that movie.
And Jared, last time you were on the show, you just filmed the 300 movie.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even think, I didn't think there would be a sequel to 300. That was amazing to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, since everybody dies pretty much at the end.
But I saw it was pretty good.
Yeah, the cinematography, I mean, Zack Snyder, he's just such a visionary director, and I had no idea what he looked like ahead of time. I knew the name and knew his work as a director, and I was in line at lunch just...
Yeah.
With a movie with that big of a budget, it was like $90 million budget, they spent lunches literally a $10,000 catered lunch every day.
Nice.
So looking at all of this food, and I'm just, oh my God. And the guy next to him, I'm like, this is mind-blowing. This is so awesome. I mean, they've got tons of... And we're just chatting, and go through the line. I'm like, awesome. Well, I'll let you have a good lunch, and, you know, I'm sure I'll see you around for the day. Cool. And went and sat down, and... Somebody looked at him like, oh my God, that's Zack Snyder. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That's who I was just in line with. But I'm so oblivious because I haven't, my best friend made us have a TV a year ago. Neither one of us have owned a TV in 10 years. So I haven't, I didn't see any TV series or any streaming series or anything like that. So when I'm on set a lot of times, I won't know this person I'm working with until the production comes out and she'll see it, or I see another show, I'm like, I worked with that guy. She'll be like, that's Will Arnett.
I'm like, I was like, what the hell? What is wrong with you? You didn't know Will Arnett?
So many times where, but you know, I get to build a genuine connection instead of being a fanboy and
shaking. Yeah, I know.
And yeah, so it's, it, yeah, I have a blast. Never would have thought that the life that I lead was even possible.
Well, speaking of that, and where does the time go? Jeez, I can't believe it's over already. But
holy shit.
Before we go, you're singing again.
Mm-hmm.
I was in your video,
mm-hmm.
which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Las Vegas. Our friend Ophelia set up a strip club. And
money moves.
She was talking about that when she was here.
Yeah.
And you came in a nice, very short skirt, showing off those legs.
Yeah.
So is there an album coming? You said it was a whole rock opera.
Yeah. Well, there is an album coming. I have an Instagram thing, Greta B Music, which has little previews of stuff, and I need people to go and look at that and see it and follow me and all that stuff. But, and by the way, it wasn't my legs that were showing. I'm not thrilled with the video. It's all boobs. I'm not a boob person. That's not my thing.
Right.
And somehow my costume, as I looked at it, like, why wasn't somebody telling me there's too much boob going on here, okay?
Well, there wasn't too much boob for anybody
It was way too much. And it should have been legs. I have a bone to pick with the director. It's like, the legs.
The pictures that I took was the shots going up the legs.
Yeah, I know. Well, the video was boobs. It's like boob. Bill, I'm like, that's not who I am, but whatever. Anyway, it's a fun, dancey song, as you know.
Yes, it is.
And I just did a performance at Radfest, the sci-fi thing I did. I repurposed my Groper song into the Grim Reaper song.
Ooh.
That's why I said the Insta. There's little snippets of it on there.
Right.
So, yeah, all of my music is propelled by something really important to me. So I gotta write it. Okay. So the stripper song, there's a whole story which we'll go into at another time.
Right. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah.
But now you're singing torch songs too?
I didn't know
you had that range.
Well, I'm a rocker, but I came up with this. I sort of fell in love with a couple of torch songs and
which songs?
I love Cry Me a River. I mean, I'm loving that a lot. And I'm doing Boy from Ipanema as a torch song. And I have a torch song show now. It's an hour and a half. I debuted it in the Hamptons this summer. They want me back next year when they do this big event, 2 hours, and I'm going to take it on the road. Evening gowns and kind of the sexy hair with a little edge to it. I'm really liking that.
That's great.
It's a different side than what I started out doing.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And Greta, as I say, you're one of the most amazing people I've ever met. We barely scratched the surface.
That's sweet of you. Yeah.
Well, you know that. I mean, anybody meets you, who has a life like yours?
You know what? I will say something about something I consider really mundane, and people go, "You got to write a book." I'm like, "About that? That's nothing." Wait till I tell you the story. You don't even know someone, but anyway.
Well, I know. No, trust me.
We got some good ones, man. I got some. I'm saving it for the book. It'll be good.
So, how do people get a hold of you?
Instagram, Greta B Music.
Greta B Music on Instagram.
Yeah. And no, please know. You know what? Shots. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
God,
yes.
Come on,
be respectful.
Guys.
Come on.
I mean, who goes for that? Some women must because these guys do it.
Well, wait a second, though. Guys are sending you dick pics? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that. Read between the lines, but yes.
Guys, stop that. Stop
it's
that.
It's like, ooh. And I just want to say something about the Indiana thing. You'll find there's something about people from Indiana when they meet. I did the Shakespeare play I just did. There were three of us from Indiana in that too. A guy from South Bend, a chick from wherever she was from, and me. And it was like the Hoosier Club. So there's this thing with people from Indiana because, and I don't mean this disparagingly, it's a great place to grow up, as you guys can say.
It's a great place to be from.
Yeah. But once you get away, you understand your fellow person who got away. There's something in that uniquely about Indiana. So it's like when you know they're from Indiana, first of all, you know they're salt of the earth. You can count on them.
Yeah.
My chick friends from Indiana to this day are the people I call when I need something done
like
that.
Right.
It's very true.
But I won't put words in her mouth and speak for her, but yeah, I feel very grateful to have had the opportunity to get out of the Midwest so that I had the freedom to fully be me, because like we mentioned, we knew we didn't fit in,
right?
And some people, they literally don't survive not fitting in,
right?
Like it drives them to suicide for whatever reason don't fit in. So we were able to get out and fully be ourselves, and the three of us probably were still unapologetically ourselves there, and just didn't give a shit, but we knew that we would flourish better somewhere else.
Well, that's how I like to end the show, is talk of suicide. But, Jared,
I'm talking about
people. No, I understand what you're saying. This is actually very hopeful.
Emphasize.
This is very hopeful.
Wherever you are, be you.
How do people get a hold of you, and what do you got going on? Any new movies coming out?
Right now, my career focuses mostly on commercials, which they pay the most, but it's not as sustainable of a career. But working on building my TV and film career, there's so many things that just bounce up all over the place.
As
far as finding me, Instagram at Jared Delgado. It's like Delgado without the L.
Right.
But how's Jared spelled? Because I'm going to take a picture after and I'm going to tag you guys. So give me intel.
J-A-R-E-D, the correct way.
Delgado, like no, it's...
Delgado.
Delgado without the L. So it's
D-E-G-A-D-O. Okay. Well, you had problems with that in Indiana from the get-go.
Well, yeah. Be real. Like I say, as long as the check's still cash from the production, that's all that matters. Yeah. I don't care how they spell it.
But in Indiana, I mean, I'm Blackburn. I was Black Butt. Other than Wilt Distilt, I was Black Butt, so I can only imagine. But yeah.
And Wilt Distilt, they really they need to get some glasses. I don't know what they were looking at. Jenna, how do people get a hold of you?
Okay.
I could talk for 3 hours,
but
like we got to go.
Two different, you know what I mean? Because like my, my stage... name is spelt G-E-N-N-A.
Right.
S sharp.
Right.
And really, you know, that all kind of happened because I wanted to protect my kids. But I also wanted to unapologetically be me.
Yeah.
So that's how it is. But normally, I mean, everybody else, I mean, you're going to know my name's Jennifer.
Right.
And that's...
Do you have a specific Instagram?
I do. It's Jennifer Marie 73.
Okay. And Hail Hannah Box 666.
B-A-K-K, not B-A-C-H.
And Goth Comedian on all social media. I could talk to you Hoosiers all night.
We'll just wait to come back on in the future whenever you've got open spots and recycling.
Like absolutely.
Can we bring corn on the cob? Because that's what we're known for in Indiana.
Well, that, and I think the next time we do this, we're going to do a remote at the gym. So anyway, everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Thank you for having us. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.